Captain's log, stardate 44246.3. We're investigating radiation anomalies reported in the Gamma Auriculon system by the starship LaSalle. Preliminary readings are inconclusive.
Mr. Data?
No changes, Commander. I can detect no abnormalities in the star's radiant energy.
Prepare two Class 1 probes.
Probes ready, Captain.
Initiate launch sequence.
Captain, Klingon attack cruiser decloaking, bearing 010, mark 237.
Relay that order, Mr. Data.
Did Starfleet mention any Klingon ships in this sector?
On screen.
We are being hailed.
All stop, Mr. Crusher.
Aye, sir, all stop.
Open a channel.
Hello, Captain Picard.
Ambassador Kayla. This is an unexpected pleasure.
It's good to see you again, Captain. Lieutenant Worf.
How may we be of assistance, Ambassador?
There's an urgent matter we must discuss, Captain. Permission to come aboard.
Granted. Lieutenant, please receive our guest.
Captain, I must request permission to send another officer.
May I know your reason?
My dishonor among Klingons may offend Ambassador Kalar.
Lieutenant, you are a member of this crew, and you will not go into hiding whenever a Klingon vessel uncloaks.
I withdraw my request, sir.
Worf enters the transporter room and looks nervously at the ensign at the controls.
I just received coordinates, sir. Ready to transport two from the Klingon vessel.
Two?
Yes, sir.
Energize.
As two streams of sparkling blue light particles form columns of light on the transport platform, Worf watches them condense and two figures materialize. His eyes open in surprise, staring at the small Klingon child standing beside Ambassador Kalar. Kalar looks down at the boy and back to Worf, whose eyes narrow in suspicious confusion. British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek The Next Generation, created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Reunion, voiced by Marston York. The Federation Starship Enterprise journeys into the wild beauty of the unknown, streaming flat planes of swirling gases ring an enormous glowing orb in a distant galaxy as a comet, its tail glowing red and blue in the star's light, flashes past, revealing a rocky moon orbiting a ringed planet.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Starring Patrick Stewart as Captain Jean-Luc Picard, Jonathan Frakes as Commander William Riker, LeVar Burton as Lieutenant Geordi LaForge, Michael Dorn as Lieutenant Worf, Gates McFadden as Dr. Beverly Crusher, Marina Sirtis as Counselor Deanna Troi, Brent Spiner as Lieutenant Commander Data, and Will Wheaton as Wesley Crusher. Theme by Jerry Goldsmith and Alexander Courage. The United Federation of Planets was created to form alliances between species, and the pooling of knowledge and desire to learn pushes the boundaries of our own existence in an effort to discover more. The engines on the Enterprise power up. Explosive fusion builds to warp power, and the Enterprise lunges forward in a flash of blue and white light. Ambassador Kalar kneels before the boy in the Enterprise's schoolroom. Slowly standing, she touches his shoulders and he waves, smiling as she turns away. Kalar joins Worf outside, looking through a wide glass window onto the room.
I hope you'll be all right. Alexander hasn't had much contact with other children.
Worf looks almost angrily at Kalar and strides away. Kalar smiles weakly and follows. Alexander walks over to a table covered in large square blocks and joins a group of boys piling them on top of each other. Kalar and Worf stand side by side in a turbo lift.
Not even a bite on the cheek for old time's sake?
Perhaps you are not aware of my dishonor. I have accepted discommendation.
I've heard. So now what? I have to perform some ridiculous ritual to talk to you?
You may not respect our traditions, but I do.
Sorry. I just thought you might want to talk. A few minutes ago, you looked like someone with a question to ask.
Must I ask the question?
Yes, you must.
The turbo lift stops and Worf half turns, pausing, and walks straight out.
What should I tell Alexander? That he has no father?
Worf stops for a moment but carries on without turning round. Kalar holds a briefing in the conference room.
The Klingon Empire is at a critical juncture. We may be facing civil war.
War over what?
The usual excuses. Tradition, duty, honor.
The word excuses implies ulterior motives for a conflict.
I won't bore you with the intricacies of Klingon politics. Basically, two factions are trying to seize power.
Do you believe there is a threat to the Federation in this struggle?
Klingon wars seldom remain confined to the Empire. Sooner or later, they'll drag in the neighboring star systems, then the Tholians, the Ferengi. The Federation won't be able to stay out of it for long. This has been coming for some time. Only Kimpek, the head of the Council, has been able to maintain the peace.
Now something has changed that.
Correct. Kimpek is dying. He is aboard the cruiser. He has come specifically to meet with you, Captain. Alone.
Captain Picard is led into a dimly lit room on the Klingon battlecruiser. A drink stands on a table beside an armchair in front of him, and the captain peers through the gloom as his eyes adjust to the light.
It's about time you arrived, Picard. Sit.
Slowly, Captain Picard walks around the back of a chair, facing the large, elderly, broad-shouldered Klingon Council leader. Because the chairs are set close together, the two commanders have to stand face-to-face in front of them before sitting. Neither is prepared to give ground. Picard stares hard into the Klingon's face, but is met with a sad, tired look of reluctant weakness. The Klingon sits heavily and waves impatiently for his guard to leave.
I need your help.
The Enterprise medical facility can't do anything to help.
Too late. For some months, I have been poisoned with small doses of Viridian 6, the wine. There is no cure.
What do you want of me?
After I die, you will act in my name to arbitrate the struggle for power.
I will.
No one on the Council can be trusted. And I have my reasons for wanting an outsider.
Kimbeck, you cannot possibly be serious. A Federation officer has no business in...
Nonsense. You are an accomplished mediator. This is no different than any other dispute requiring your services.
On the contrary, I think this is very different. And I must respectfully decline.
If you refuse the dying request of the Klingon Supreme Commander, it will be an insult by the Federation to all Klingons.
Besides, I've already sent the order. The leaders of the opposing two factions are on their way.
You had no right to involve me without my permission.
If I'd asked, you would have said no.
This is not just a case of simple mediation. You are asking me to choose the next leader of the Klingon Empire.
No. By tradition, the two strongest challengers fight for the right of succession. As mediator, only you can designate those challengers.
But you have just said there are only two challengers arriving. What is the point?
I want you to discover which one of them has killed me. Gowron. Or Duras. Yes, Duras. I thought you would find that interesting.
Interesting. You could say that, since he tried to have me killed. Conspired to strip Worf of his good name.
And I approved all of the glory of the Empire. That should be my epitaph. Find the assassin. A Klingon who kills without showing his face has no honor. He must not lead the Empire. Such a man would be capable of anything. Even war with the Federation.
Very well. I accept.
Kim Peck raises his goblet of wine to Picard and drains it. He looks at the goblet and his eyes flash with anger. Picard watches him, his face set in grim understanding.
Captain's log supplemental. Kim Peck, who ruled the Klingon Empire longer than anyone in history, is dead. We await the arrival of Duras and Gowron, rivals for the leadership of the High Council.
In the classroom, Alexander grabs the building blocks, destroying a pile on the table, and growls menacingly at the other children. Worf's hand grips the young boy's shoulder and Alexander looks up. His challenging gaze quickly disappears.
There is no honor in attacking the weak.
I would have won.
No, you must earn victory.
Worf points to the door and Alexander walks out. In the corridor, Alexander trots to keep up.
Where are the other Klingons?
There are no others on board.
Why?
The Federation and the Klingon Empire were enemies for many years. No other Klingons have asked to serve in Starfleet.
Why?
A warrior does not ask so many questions.
I don't want to be a warrior.
Worf stops in shock and stares at his son as the boy rushes into Kalar's quarters.
Hello. Ugh. Well, you're back early.
He made me leave.
Maybe. You should go to your room and play. Is he under arrest?
He knows nothing of our ways.
Our ways? You mean Klingon ways, don't you?
He is Klingon!
He is also my son, and I am half-human. He will find his own ways. Why the sudden concern? You won't even acknowledge that he's yours.
Why did you not tell me?
And what would you have done? That's right. You would have insisted that we take the oath. Just as tradition would demand.
You should not have kept this from me.
Well, now you know.
I cannot acknowledge my relationship to the boy. It would only harm him.
Because you were dishonored?
As my son, he would also bear my disgrace, as would his children.
Why did you accept discommendation from the High Council?
My father was accused of collaborating with the Romulans at Khitomer.
I know, and I also know that you challenged it.
Yes, at first. Ultimately, I withdrew my challenge.
But why, Worf? I can't believe you just give up. What really happened?
Lieutenant Worf, Ambassador Kalar, report to the bridge.
On our way, Commander.
Kalar pauses for a moment watching Worf before joining him as he strides to the bridge. Two Klingon birds of prey move into position either side of the battlecruiser facing the Enterprise.
Klingon vessels Vorn and Baruch holding stations at 13 kilometers, sir.
Open a channel, Mr. Data.
Channel is open, sir. Vorn responding to hail.
On screen.
Let's get this over with, Picard.
Good time, Duras.
Even in death, Kim Peck makes foolish decisions. You should not be involved in this, human.
The Son Chi ceremony will take place in 1 hour aboard Kim Peck's vessel.
1 hour? What is the delay?
There is no delay. It is the time I have chosen.
Exactly 1 hour, Picard. Do not be late. Keep that Patak away from the ceremony, Picard. He has no place on a Klingon ship.
Guard out. Contact Gowron's ship. Tell him to meet us aboard Kempek's vessel. Ambassador, meet me in transporter room 6 in 1 hour. We will begin the ceremony a little late. Mr. Worf.
Worf turns and marches down the sloping floor of the bridge, following Picard into his ready room.
Mr. Worf, the next few days will be difficult for you.
You have made it clear that I am to perform my regular duties, sir.
I want you to know that I am aware of your discomfort.
Thank you, sir.
Ambassador Kayla will be preparing me for my role in the rite of succession.
Permission to speak freely, sir.
Granted.
Duras must not be allowed to lead the council.
He has a legal claim, Mr. Worf. Your personal feelings towards him.
It is not personal, sir. His father betrayed my people to the Romulans. Duras is a traitor.
Klingon tradition may hold the son responsible for his father's sin. I cannot. Treason was his father's crime. Duras' crime was to lay that blame on your father. I will not forget that. But you should not forget that you chose to accept the consequences of that lie.
To preserve the Empire.
The issue now is whether or not he killed Kimpek.
Sir?
He was murdered. Poisoned.
A Klingon would not use poison. His murder would have no honor.
Kimpek believed that it was either Duras or Gowron.
Well, I know little of Gowron. Only that he is an outsider who has often challenged the council. But Duras, I know him. His heart is not Klingon.
Picard and Kayla wait in Kimpek's quarters. Kimpek sits where he died in a chair facing the door as three Klingons enter.
That's Gowron.
The leader glares at them.
I hope this will be brief.
It will be just long enough to prove that Kimpek is dead.
Duras enters, followed by two guards, and stands beside Gowron facing Kimpek. Kalar holds out a spiked rod and Picard grips it ceremonially, hands facing away from each other, one above the other, and walks round to face Kimpek.
Quabjina Gil.
Picard jabs the rod into Kimpek's chest and an orange glow spreads from its end. He stands aside and Gowron does the same.
Quabjina Gil.
A smile flickers in his wide eyes and he steps away. Duras steps forward, refusing to follow ceremonial rules, and jabs the end of his rod at Kimpek's stomach.
Quabji Nagil.
As he steps away to stand beside Gowron, Ambassador Kalar walks around to face Kimpek, looking down at his lifeless body.
Sanshi.
Now, complete the rite of succession. It's obvious who the two challengers are.
We will proceed according to the traditions and the precedents set down in Klingon law.
What do you know of Klingon law? Human.
We will reconvene on board the Enterprise. Where is...
No! Finish it here! Now!
An explosion blasts from the doorway, hurling everyone to the ground. Worf enters Kalar's quarters. She stands by a window and turns her head, watching him with a wry smile. He stops opposite her on the other side of the room.
I have not received your report on the explosion.
Two Klingons killed. A few minor injuries. Were you concerned about me?
As head of security, it is my duty to be concerned.
Is that it? Just official concern for my well-being?
You know my feelings.
Maybe I've forgotten.
You were right. I would have insisted we take the oath. But not just because of tradition.
I thought about telling you.
Wanted to tell you. But I wasn't ready.
When I left, you said you'd never be complete without me. It took some time, but I came to realize that I need you, too. You're a part of me, Worf.
Worf steps forward, his expression softening. Suddenly, he grips her hair, staring excitedly into her eyes.
G-Duck.
Marsh-Duck.
Passion burns in Worf's eyes, but is suddenly extinguished by rage and shame.
No, I can't allow you to suffer my humiliation.
There would be no suffering. I don't care what other Klingons think of you.
But what of the boy? He may want to live in the Empire someday. He would be an outcast. Another traitor from a family of traitors.
Family of traitors? I don't believe that for a minute.
Respect my wishes in this matter. I cannot take the oath with you. Nor can I claim your son.
If you cannot be his father, at least be his friend.
Completed our analysis of the bomb debris, and Dr. Crusher is still studying the remains of the men killed in the explosion. We need more time.
Joras and Garon will be here in a few minutes. I don't think you can delay this meeting again.
Is there any way of stretching out the formalities once they arrive?
In the modern rite of succession, only a brief proclamation that two challengers have been chosen is necessary.
You said modern rite. How was the ritual performed in the past?
The old forms dictated that the challengers perform the Jashuk. It's a long, involved ceremony in which the challengers list the battles they've won, the prizes they've taken, the idea being to prove their worthiness to lead the council.
Can the old form still be used?
It's up to you. You can use whatever form you want.
Thank you.
Captain, what do you know about Worf's discommendation? My interest is personal. I understand that you were there, that you stood by him before the council. I'd like to know what happened.
I'm sorry, I can't discuss it.
Gowron and Duras sit in the conference room, waiting. The door slides open and Picard enters with Kalar.
Council must have a leader now. Complete the rite so I can kill this Kavidar.
You will die. Slowly. Duras.
You have already proved you haven't the courage to face me. Perhaps you should plant another bomb. Miriam!
Sit down. We will begin the Jajuk.
What?
This woman has been giving you bad advice, Picard. The Jajuk is obsolete.
It is my choice to respect the ancient rituals. Each of you will have to prove your worthiness to lead the High Council.
That will take hours.
Or days, depending on your cooperation.
Picard sits down watching the two Klingons. Duras glares at him before looking over at Gowron, whose eyes are wide with anger. Alexander looks at a curved sword in Worf's quarters.
What is this?
A butler. It belonged to my father. It has been in our family for 10 generations.
Let me hold it.
Alexander struggles to lift it from the wall. Worf slowly, gently hands it to him, and the young boy slowly toys with it, swinging it around in front of his body.
No, no, no. Do not think of it as a weapon. Make it part of your hand. Part of your arm. Make it part of you.
Kalar sits in the conference room studying information on a data recorder as Gowron enters, staring at her.
The next meeting is in 3 hours.
I would speak with you alone, Ambassador.
I'm honored.
Picard is prolonging the Jajuk. Why?
He has sufficient reason to proceed carefully.
He relies on you for his knowledge of Klingon law.
Yes.
Then he values your advice. You could quicken the pace.
Possibly. Why should I?
Your position is unique. Have you never wondered about serving the Klingon Empire?
I serve in my own way.
As a Federation ambassador. A few rewards, but little glory.
What do you want?
What do you want? Command of a ship? A seat on the council? There are many opportunities for you in the Empire.
Opportunities that will present themselves only if you come to power. You talk like a Ferengi.
Kimbeck was also stubborn. He too refused to listen. Now! He is gone. You need not make the same mistake.
Kimbeck was old and weak. I am not.
Leering, Galron turns away and exits. Riker joins Geordi in engineering.
We completed our analysis of the bomb debris, Commander.
The explosive was a Triceron derivative.
And the entire device couldn't have been more than 3 cubic millimeters in size.
It could have been hidden anywhere in that room.
There's one more thing. The bomb had a molecular decay detonator.
Only one race uses that device, sir. The Romulans.
How could the Romulans plant a bomb on board a Klingon attack cruiser?
It would be impossible.
Not if the Romulans had help from one of the Klingons.
Klingons and Romulans working together? They've been blood enemies for 75 years.
Perhaps Duras or Gowron wishes to improve that relationship.
A new Klingon alliance with the Romulans?
If true, it would represent a fundamental shift of power in the Quadrant.
Indeed. It would put the Federation in a very difficult position.
Duras or Gowron?
Gowron came to me alone. Wanted me to speed up the Jajuk. Offered me a seat on the council if I'd help him.
That doesn't suggest a Romulan connection.
He also implied I'd end up like Kimbeck if I didn't cooperate.
Captain, I disagree. It must be Duras.
Why?
We've had prior dealings with Duras that show him to be untrustworthy.
Can you be more specific?
No. Mr. Worf, we have a conspiracy on our hands that could be a direct threat to the security of the Federation.
Yes, sir.
As Chief Security Officer, I want you to accompany me to the next proceeding.
Captain, they will be incensed. My presence will be disruptive.
Yes, it will.
Kalar strides into her quarters.
Computer list star dates of the last Enterprise mission to the Klingon home planet.
Star dates 43685 through 43689.
How many ships' logs during that period?
43 officers' logs, 10 personal logs.
Is there a personal log for Lieutenant Worf?
Affirmative. Access is restricted.
Eliminate all personal logs. List the remaining 43 in chronological order. We'll just take them one at a time.
Dark battle.
Gowron bows towards Picard, who nods respectfully, and the Klingon takes his seat in the conference room.
Both your claims have been properly made and recorded. We are ready for the final phase of the Jajuk. There will be a recess while I review your petitions.
Gowron nods and starts to stand, but Picard holds up his hand.
I'm sure you're as concerned as I am about the explosion aboard Kimpek's vessel. I assume that you are both continuing your investigations.
The investigations are complete. They revealed nothing of any importance.
Now, that's very surprising. Our analysis turned up some startling results. Will you join us, Lieutenant?
What is this?
He has no place here, Picard.
I will not sit at the same table with that.
It is my prerogative to investigate anything that may be relevant to the right of succession. Lieutenant Worf is my chief security officer. His presence is required.
We will not proceed!
If you wish to withdraw from the Zhar Juk, that is your option.
Proceed, Mr. Worf.
What did your investigations reveal about the explosion?
It was a bomb.
And was your analysis just as insightful?
It was a common explosive.
What type?
Triceron.
What about the detonator?
This is pointless! The findings were inconclusive.
Fortunately, our investigation was more thorough. The bomb used a molecular decay detonator.
What?
A Romulan device.
I will return to my ship to confirm these conclusions myself.
As will I.
Mr. Worf, please be sure to send a complete record of our findings to both vessels and to the High Council.
Aye, sir.
That will be all.
Computer, interlock with the Klingon Imperial Information Net.
Interlock established.
Federation Ambassador Kalar requesting diplomatic access to High Council record. Security code Padokcha.
Proceed.
Computer, display summary of the most recent High Council inquiry regarding Kittimer massacre.
Access denied. Restricted materials. Duco Cha clearance only.
By whose order?
Council member Duras.
Access biographical files. Subject name, Councillor Duras.
Advise my counselors on the Vorn to convene. There is much to discuss.
Look.
What is this?
Priority message to you from the home planet. It seems Ambassador Kalar is looking into things she should not be.
Distract the guard for me.
Yes, sir.
Sir, excuse me, sir. You cannot leave your quarters without an escort.
Come.
I have been informed of your attempt to access restricted council records.
I've been investigating what happened at Kittimer. Not at all an easy task, considering that most of the records are sealed.
Worf's father was a traitor.
No. The evidence was altered to make it appear that way. I found it interesting to read that your father was also at Kittimer, and you are the one who sealed the records.
You dare insult my father's name!
Don't play the wounded Klingon for me, Duras. You don't do it very well. What happened in that council chamber? How did you get Worf to take the blame for you?
Do not pursue this matter further.
The son betrays his people to the Romulans, just as his father did. Duras.
One of the Klingons who died in the explosion was with Duras. The other was with Gowron. I've been examining the bodies, trying to get a clue as to where the bomb was hidden. There's always a pattern in the lacerations and tissue damage. It would normally give a clear indication as to the direction, distance, force of impact.
Normally?
In this case, the pattern was virtually impossible to detect. I couldn't understand it until I looked at the dyno scans. This wound is different from all of the others. It was made from the inside out. The bomb was implanted in one of their forearms.
It's considered an honorable way for a Klingon to die. Suicide that takes an enemy with it. Which one of them was it?
Duras's man.
When we have more time, I will take you to the holodeck and demonstrate in more detail.
Worf leads Alexander to Kalar's quarters.
Medical emergency! Deck 8! Room 142!
Kalar lies bleeding and semi-conscious over a stool. Worf cradles her in his arms. Alexander stares uncomprehendingly at the blood on her face and hands.
Gowron. Duras.
Alexander.
Kalar painfully reaches to her son and takes his hand. She grips it and gently places it over Worf's. Holding both hands, her strength leaves her and her hand flops to one side.
Kalar! Kalar!
Hugging her body to his chest, he slowly releases her. His face is contorted with grief and rage. Gently, he lays her to the floor, gazing at her face, her eyes closed, finally at peace. Laying her flat, he stands up and stumbles backwards. Regaining his balance, he stands upright. Behind him, Alexander, having run away at Worf's howl of despairing anger, stands with his back to his mother. Worf walks backwards, staring at her body. Standing alongside Alexander, he looks down at his son.
You have never seen death. Then look. And always remember.
Dr. Crusher and a nurse rush in and kneel by Kalar's body. Worf looks down at Alexander.
Stay with the doctor.
Worf, when did you...
Worf strides out of the room, leaving Alexander watching Dr. Crusher as the doctor closes her tricorder and shakes her head sadly. Worf rushes to his quarters, his eyes flitting wildly around the room. Seeing his father's back left, a calm settles over him. He takes off his family's sash and takes the weapon from the wall. Turning to leave, he is struck by a thought and quickly takes off his communicator, dropping it on a table as he strides out.
Multiple stab wounds to the chest and abdomen, too much trauma to the internal organs. There wasn't time enough to take her into stasis.
Where's Worf?
I don't know. He disappeared just after I arrived.
Riker to Lieutenant Worf. Computer, locate Lieutenant Worf.
Lieutenant Worf is not aboard the Enterprise.
Where is he?
Lieutenant Worf transported to the Klingon ship Vorn at 17:30 hours.
On my way.
Worf enters the bridge on the Vorn.
Duras!
What is that doing here?
He has claimed the right of vengeance.
You have no rights here, traitor.
Slowly, Worf steps forward, his back left held by his side. His eyes burn with anger in his otherwise calm face, staring at Duras.
Kalar was my mate.
Duras holds out his hands and a guard hands him a sword.
If Lieutenant Worf resists, sir.
He's coming back with us one way or another. Set phasers on maximum stun.
I'm the only one, Worf. The only one who can prove your innocence. Kill me and you're a traitor forever.
Then that is how it shall be.
His back left sighs through the air, embedding itself in Duras's chest. Worf stands above the dying traitor, watching him. Data and Riker look at each other nervously. Duras slumps to the floor. The three Klingon vessels move slowly away from the Enterprise. Picard sits in his ready room, deep in grim thought.
Mr. Worf, your service aboard the Enterprise has been exemplary. Until now.
Sir, I have acted within the boundaries of Klingon law and tradition.
The High Council would seem to agree. They consider the matter closed. I don't. Mr. Worf, the Enterprise crew currently includes representatives from 13 planets. They each have their individual beliefs and values, and I respect them all. But they have all chosen to serve Starfleet. If anyone cannot perform his or her duty because of the demands of their society, they should resign.
Picard stands up and walks around the desk, tugging his tunic straight. He steps close to Worf, who stares straight ahead.
Do you wish to resign?
No, sir.
I hope hoped you would not throw away a promising career. I understand your loss. We all admired Kayla. A reprimand will appear on your record. Dismissed. Mr. Worf. Isn't it time for the truth about your father's innocence to be told? After all, you only accepted this dishonor to protect the name of Duras and hold the Empire together. Now that he has died in disgrace, what is gained by further silence?
Each member of the Klingon High Council has shared in that lie. They will not be so willing to admit their own dishonor. But the day will come when my brother and I will convince them to speak the truth.
Picard watches Worf leave, his face sad and compassionate. In Worf's quarters, Alexander watches his father standing before a wall-mounted display of weapons. Slowly, Worf turns towards his son.
My parents, my human parents, will meet us at Starbase 73. They will care for you.
Why can't I stay with you?
You deserve a home, a family. They can provide that. I cannot.
Alexander looks sadly down at the chair he sits on. Worf watches his son's face and slowly raises his eyes, staring sorrowfully into space.
I miss her too.
Are you my father?
Yes. I am your father.
Tentatively, Alexander holds out his hand to his father. Seeing the movement, Worf slowly and gently takes it in his own. Nodding slightly, Worf looks at Alexander, who puts his arm around Worf's neck as Worf pulls him into an embrace. Holding his son in his arms, a sad smile spreads across his face and he closes his eyes. The end.